This episode of Rose Unplugged is made possible because of MyPillow. So I ask that you go to MyPillow, put in promo code ROSE, and you'll get great savings. And listen, I've got it all. I've got the pillows, the bed topper, the dog bed. My dog loves that dog bed. The Giza sheets. And best of all, and Christmas time is right around the corner, right? Those slippers. I love those slippers. They are so comfortable. It's like somebody's hugging my feet, and nobody really would want to. But listen, since no one wants to hug my feet, that's why I love my pillow slippers. They do the job. I mean, they are great. They're comfortable, and they make a wonderful Christmas gift. I gave it to everyone on my list last year, and they were really happy. My pillow, promo code ROSE.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most.
This is my fight song.
This is Rose Unplugged.
My power's turned on.
Welcome to this episode of Rose Unplugged. Joining me today is Mark Morano. He's the publisher of the award-winning ClimateDepot.com, a global warming and eco news center, and it was founded in 2009. Morano was named one of only five criminals against humanity, how about that, against the planet Earth itself in 2009 by the eco magazine Grist. So, wow, that's... Actually, that's kind of impressive. Mark, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. I've seen you on Hannity, and you've been very busy sounding the alarm through Climate Depot and other platforms. Do you think anyone's actually taking this threat seriously right now, what we're facing in terms of what the World Economic Forum is doing under the guise of climate control and climate concern? Is anybody taking this threat seriously in your mind?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, a lot of Americans are. A lot of people get it. A lot of our leadership don't. People like Congressman Dan Crenshaw was at the UN climate summit legitimizing the whole UN. They believe climate's a problem and part of the solution. He's been pressed before about the World Economic Forum. He dismisses it as a conspiracy. You have people like Kevin McCarthy, the House, I guess, presumed majority leader, who believes climate's a problem and we need solutions. Again, they believe that in that old Me Too Republicanism where you try to say Me Too, and then, what you offer is never enough to satisfy the other side. But the American people, I think COVID was the red pill for anyone to wake up to what was actually happening. Because for the first time in American history, overnight, the country was transformed. Churches closed, weddings, funerals canceled, businesses closed. Abortion clinics for some reason open, and so was Walmart, but stay-at-home orders, vaccine mandates, mask mandates came, and none of that was done by a vote. In other words, no one lobbied legislators, there were no votes, there were no constituent meetings, no town halls, no switchboards lighting up. It was all just imposed by emergency order by unelected bureaucrats and politicians with executive power, and this is why the simplest definition, people say, what is the Great Reset? Well, it's very simple. It's the Chinification of the once West. In other words, all of these Western leaders who have praised China's one-party rule finally got their wish, and they've turned the once free West into Chinese one-party dictatorial control. In other words, all these major decisions were made without a vote, without democracy, and they continued. Meat eating is being banned without us voting on it. Gas-powered cars are being banned without us voting on it. The whole range of issues where free speech has been taken away without us voting on it. Big tech censorship is government censorship.
Right.
Our energy has been stripped away. They deluded us on that one. We did vote, and sadly, Americans voted for green energy, but they were told it was going to be a green energy utopia where solar and wind would just magically replace everything and we could get off fossil fuels. That didn't happen. And so they were lied to on the way that went. So that's our problem. It's a lack of democracy. That's it. The Chinification of the one-tree West That's the Great Reset.
It really is, because as I do studying on China and what's going on over there right now, and in fact, you brought up solar panels. You know, China currently manufactures and supplies more than 80% of the globe's solar panels. And accordingly, it looks like they're on task to actually increase that to 95% of the entire manufacturing process by 2025. China alone. And I do want to get... Go ahead.
Well, Jake Tapper on CNN asked Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, well, what are we going to try to get off of, Bill? Wouldn't it be great to go all solar and wind so we can, you know, get off of fossil fuels and be energy independent or whatever? I was like, what in the world? All they're basically saying, as you mentioned, solar panels, China, all the rare earth mining has to come from China.
Right, right.
All the rare earth mining has to come from China. So all we're doing is empowering. All we're doing is empowering China to have even more economic power over us, national sovereignty. And China, of course, is getting cobalt from the Congo with underage children, according to international human rights groups. So this whole green agenda is making people. I was at this UN summit. The most shocking thing to me the entire week was the Ukrainian delegation spokesman actually saying that what Vladimir Putin fears the most is Europe doubling down on green energy, because then they won't need his energy. And I'm like, the thing that would make Vladimir Putin laugh his bleep off would be Europe doubling down on green energy and just committing economic and national suicide.
Yes, absolutely it would. You know, and China is such a concern too when you see the way they're collecting data right now, purchasing real estate in our country and other countries as well, but really in our country. And when you hear that it's farmland, and I want to get into the idea of farmland. In fact, I might jump into that right now if you don't mind, because over the summer we saw a lot going on. Belgium, the farmers in Belgium were protesting because of the EU-inspired green agenda. In the Dutch Netherlands, the farmers rose up against their government because they were promoting the same type of measures there. It was draconian measures that would shut down as much as 30% of all their livestock farms in that nation. And by the way, that industry accounts for 54,000 businesses throughout the country and 94.5 billion euros in exports. And that's according to 2019. But they're one of the largest exporters of meat in Europe, fifth largest dairy exporter globally. So think about that. Then in Sri Lanka, at the 2021 United Nations climate change, then their president gave a speech and he was bragging about his country's move towards sustainable agriculture, and he banned chemical fertilizers and pesticides. A year later, thousands of Sri Lankans are starving. He's in exile somewhere, I think Singapore, I'm not sure. But, you know, this is disastrous. And these are just pilot programs, but they're coming to an area near us, aren't they?
They are. Okay, what happened in the Netherlands, and very important because there's so many tentacles here. First of all, the prime minister of the Netherlands is named Rudd, R-U-D-D, yes. And he's a protege of the World Economic Forum Klaus Schwab, one of the "we penetrate the cabinets" people that they brag about at the World Economic Forum.
Right.
This was part of this is the net zero climate agenda. So what they're doing is over 11,000 farms face closure if this goes forward. And what that is they're going after high-yield agriculture, claiming that nitrogen creates nitrous oxide, which is a potent greenhouse gas, which will create runaway global warming. We can't allow it. So who's affected? Who are the 11,000? Small, independent, family-run, for generation farmers. And as you mentioned, that employ a lot of small businesses, make up a lot of economic activity. And guess who's going to end up replacing them? Is it going to be other small family businesses?
No.
If they're replaced as farms at all, it's going to be agribusiness, China, big multinational corporations. And that's who they want to replace it, because they can control those. They can control the board of directors. They can control the direction. They can make sure they're ESG compliant. They can make sure they're trans compliant and CRT compliant, and you name it, whatever the agenda politics of the day is,
right?
They will make sure. The small ones, you can't control. That's why they love lockdowns, by the way, because it was the greatest transfer of wealth from the middle class, poor middle class, to the wealthy, and then retail chains benefited while the small mom-and-pop restaurants were crushed.
Right.
And that's because they can control the retail chain. So what's happening in the Netherlands, I call the Great Food Reset. It started there. They're also introducing oddly enough, in the Netherlands, insect-based snacks to kids as part of a psychological operation, a psych-op. But this whole war on high-yield farming, net zero, spreading now to Australia, where analysts said it's decimating Australian farming, spreading to Canada, coming to the U.S., not Al Gore, Bill Gates is now the single largest family of farmland owner in America. They were worried about China being the number one, but hey, Bill Gates, there's a competition, but I don't know who I want to win that battle, but Bill Gates is number one. Why does Bill Gates want to own farmland? His stated goal is to not to make Americans and all free Western nations, Europe, Canada, Australia, no one should be eating real meat. We should be eating lab-grown meat, and that's where his research is going.
But why,
that's what he's pushing.
Mark?
So when, as the number one farmland owner, he's going to have say.
But what, you know, and by the way, I just want to add this too. We know, now we know, as you mentioned, Chinese companies are building and buying acreage all over the place, all over this country. The most frightening, I think, was the purchase of the 370 acres that are 12 miles from Grand Forks Air Force Base, by the way. So that's a little scary, but they're doing this all over the place. The only person I've seen actually take a step really to try to prohibit this was Governor DeSantis, when last month he wanted legislation that would prohibit not just China, but apparently there are seven other countries of concern. I wonder who they are, buying up our land. But again, it's all about controlling the food source. And does this not sound familiar? Stalin called the farmers enemies of the people, and he took control of the food production. You know, what's the difference now, 100 years later, when the World Economic Forum and the EU and everybody else is waging the same war on farmers?
That's exactly what they're doing, is they're intentionally collapsing our farming.
Yeah.
They're going after meat eating. And by the way, the Netherlands is the number one meat exporter in Europe. So it's interesting that they're targeting that country the most. They're going to make, the stated goal is to make meat a rare and expensive treat, which, by the way, at this UN conference in Egypt, high-end gourmet meats were provided to all the VIPs as the UN promotes lab-grown fake meat and also insect eating for us, the unwashed masses.
That's right.
But here's the bottom line. They're collapsing our food production. They're collapsing our energy supply. They're collapsing our transportation, banning gas-powered cars. They're collapsing our free speech, big tech censorship, is government censorship. And they're collapsing our currency with debt, spending, and monetary policy and printing money, etc. This is what they wanted. Vladimir Lenin, and during the Bolshevik Revolution in Tsarist Russia, said the worse the better to describe the plans to achieve radical transformation of society. So what they're looking at is just the more people dependent on government, the more society's thrown in chaos, the longer they can keep these emergency decrees going. By the way, that's the other angle of the Great Reset, is rule to emergency power. If you go back through history, back to the Roman Republic, the greatest abuses of government against its citizens has occurred during times of emergency power. The Roman Republic, Middle Ages, Germany, 1933, and the United States, 9/11, we had that. We're still living under the Terrorism Declaration, which then ultimately led to the creation of the Patriot Act, which was supposed to surveil terrorists, but now, guess what? It's surveilling domestic Americans. And angry parents at school board meetings are now domestic terror threats. And now we're still under the COVID emergency. That's going on almost 3 years, 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And there's no end in sight for that. And now Joe Biden wants to declare a climate emergency, which will give him 130 executive powers. So when you do that, you can bypass democracy and these emergencies become endless crises.
You know, it's so funny. And I want to get to the monetary concerns in just a moment. But, you know, it's interesting because years ago, I started out actually in Christian television, and we would warn of all of this, and we were just labeled crazy and conspiracy theorists and all of that. And now I'm just sitting here watching it all unfold. And frankly, you know, honestly, I think that it happened. I think they, or you might even admit, this is actually unfolding a lot quicker. It seems like we've accelerated just recently. And I think you're right. You can point to like the pandemic and all of those things that have been almost experimental in a sense. But we saw how people would so capitulate out of fear. They would do whatever they were told to do by a government out of fear. And it just seems to me that we are on, like, we've just ramped it up. Don't you think? Are these efforts not just like really ramping up?
Yeah, everything changed. I mean, whether it was called the New World Order, Great Reset, you know, I would have been even skeptical of Eddie Pace. I mean, there were always forces. I go back in the book to 1913, Woodrow Wilson as president. There was a whole movement for the administrative state ruled by unelected experts over your life, people who have credentials. And, you know, the idea was to keep the unwashed masses in check, and that it's for all for our own good. It'll keep us from getting sick through public health regulations. It keeps the environment safe. It keeps us from, you know, creating a racist earth and destruction. It keeps supply chain. They really thought they could rule that way. So what happened, though, is this ebbed and flowed through the 1930s and all the way up, you know, in terms of all these conspiracies in the 1990s. You had the New World Order conspiracy, which was more of a global government type thing. But COVID, March 2020, literally brought it all to life. Every fantasy yes. that these globalists had were able to impose overnight, and that was the game changer. In other words, it was all true, everything they wanted to do, but it was still in a theoretical realm. We were moving, and you'd have ebb and flow. This has been a lock-solid thing since March of 2020. They don't want to let go. They had a vote in Congress trying to overturn the emergency COVID powers, and I think the Democrats voted it down. So Joe Biden could continue this. The governors and mayors can continue to wreak havoc and do whatever they want. They can just impose mask mandates and vax mandates, whatever they want. It's their power because we're in an emergency, don't you know?
Don't you know? Well, you know, and by the way, I'm glad you brought up your book. I meant to from the beginning. Mark Morano's book is The Great Reset. That's his most recent one. I'm also familiar with, it was Green Fried. I think it was last year came out, but The Great Reset. And listen, if your friends don't believe you, read this book and then pass it on or get one for them, because this is going down. It's happening. And you know, it's crazy too, Mark, because Schwab and the others, they don't care. They're actually coming out and saying this is exactly what we're going to do. They're not holding back in any way. They're being completely transparent, frankly, at this point.
You know, 2020 was the year conspiracy realities outnumbered conspiracy theories. I mean, that's we're conspiracy observers now. We're observing these.
I like
and
that.
So what I did in the book, Rose, to blunt the kind of criticism you would immediately say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. In fact, I've already been dubbed a Great Reset conspiracy theorist by Media Matters for America, the George Soros
God,
group.
Yeah.
But what I did, if you read my book, The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown, it literally, I tried to do all mainstream sources from the New York Times to Washington Post to USA Today to BBC to the very words of the World Economic Forum from Klaus Schwab's book. So you'll read it. I have like 90 pages of footnotes. And that's all. I'll even put it into the text. According to the New York Times, and people will be shocked because this isn't a conspiracy. It's all out in the open. These are all public comments.
Right.
I don't say, according to some document who I can't reveal the source. Nothing like that at all is necessary or in my book.
I love it. I love it. And I love how you approach all of this, and you are unafraid, and I appreciate you so much. Real quick, I do want to talk about the monetary concerns, because you touched on it, the danger of central banking and digital currencies, social credit yeah. systems. We're seeing some of that again already in China and soon to come here, as we said before. But let's talk about why these are dangerous. Why is central banking and these digital currencies such a concern?
Okay, well, this is a big part of the whole Great Reset. It's a big part of the book. Here's the bottom line. We saw firsthand what happened in Canada with the Freedom Convoy, the people protesting the lockdowns and the vaccine mandates, all the truckers. Justin Trudeau called up the banks and actually insurance companies as well, and he basically said, these are domestic terrorists. He just unilaterally declared them domestic terrorists, these protesters, lawful protesters, peaceful. And they then colluded, the government of Justin Trudeau, with no effort whatsoever, just the corporate banks were more than willing, they cut off access of people to their own money. It wasn't like, oh, you're not going to get government services. They made it so you couldn't use your bank card, your credit card, and they made it so you couldn't insure your truck.
That's
and
right.
By the way, if you baked cookies or donuts or made coffee for these protesters, they could shut down your finances as
wow.
well. So what this is, and in the book I go through, it's called Digital Bank, Central Bank Digital Currency. That's the greatest fear, not decentralized cryptocurrency, which is different. Although, you know, there's been scandals with that, obviously,
right.
with the most recent, which is a whole other element. You know, I think his relatives or parents are on the board of the World Economic Forum. Everything
yeah.
has tentacles. But
yes.
anyway,
yes.
The Bank of England announced, I think it was 2019, that they wanted to have a digital bank central currency that was going to be programmable. And the idea is it was going to only allow you to spend money on what government deems sensible. So let me give you a couple clues. Meat is probably not sensible. Gas-powered cars or gas is not sensible. Too much, you know, air conditioning or heat in the winter is probably not sensible. And a whole host of vacations probably aren't sensible. Buying meat is not sensible. So what I'm saying is that is one of their biggest concerns. And the idea of this digital bank central currency is they want to be able to cut your money off when they deem. And we already saw this. I detail in the book in many nations across the world. If you didn't get the vaccine, access to your own money was cut off. Not just government services, but your own money. Very similar. We're copying the Chinese social credit system.
Yes.
Which is basically saying you have to be a good person as defined by the state, by the government, or you don't get to participate in democracy. We saw this where we had in America, same vein of people saying you shouldn't get medical care if you're unvaccinated. You shouldn't be able to travel if you're unvaccinated. Most chillingly, the G20 summit, which has concluded, the world leaders, including Joe Biden, signed on to that. You know, the World Health Organization will determine what vaccines are necessary for freedom of movement, of travel. But the world, the United Nations and MasterCard teamed up last year to come up with a credit card, a MasterCard, that monitors your carbon footprint. And when you exceed your carbon max, it cuts off your ability to spend.
Wow.
Visa's joining now this year. And the, this is the ultimate goal. Al Gore just introduced a track and trace app with Google called Climate Trace at this UN summit I just got back from in Egypt. And they're going to start by monitoring some 70,000 plus individual CO2 emitters. Keep in mind, all humans emit CO2 when we exhale our breath. We inhale oxygen, exhale CO2, carbon dioxide. So this is scary. Big Al is watching us. And don't think that this climate trace won't be used as a condition of being able to have access to bank cards, money. And we're not far-fetched from the day when you go to a, you know, your local Walmart and try to buy something and it says you must delete your hate speech on Twitter before you can use your card. I mean, that's the kind of thing they're going to try to control. We're at that level now. And all they need is continued crises. And I got to say this. The Republican Party is part of the problem, maybe a bigger part of the problem when you have Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, people who were largely silent on lockdowns, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. They don't get it. They're never going to get it. And I, you know, I was hoping for a big sweep and bring in new leaders, but I don't know that that's going to happen. So I see them as a bigger problem than the Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's, because they're supposed to be the opposition and they're not.
You know, and you're absolutely right about that. So that all of this begs one question, if you don't mind. I need to understand this. To what end? I mean, these guys, I understand power is everything, right? Power is everything. But to what end? These men are already powerful, many of them. What does it matter? Why are we doing this? Really? It can't be because they truly believe that they're saving the planet. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that's a handy excuse for all of this. To what end, Mark?
Well, it's a great question. And the way to look at it is this, and I mentioned Woodrow Wilson earlier, 1913.
Right.
This was at its core, it's an ideology of altruism. And what I mean by that is the firm believers, the ideologues, truly believe that in order to save millions of lives from a virus, you need public health authoritarianism. You need to treat people as though they're essentially slaves because it's for their own good. You need to lock them down. You need to tell them what they can and can't do. You need to give them curfews. You need to have, you know, empower neighbors to snitch on you if you see too many people because you're saving lives. Look at it from a climate perspective. If left to our own devices, we will create a climate catastrophe, we'll destroy species, we'll end the earth. They're preventing a catastrophe by managing us and taking away our freedoms and our autonomy. That's the core belief. Now, the problem is that's a small number of people who believe that, relatively large number of not powerful people believe it, but among the powerful, that's small, because then you get the greenwashers, the profiteers, the corporations, the megalomaniacal millionaires and billionaires who come in, the power-hungry politicians, the power-hungry bureaucrats. You mix all that together, and there's actually something called the banality of evil. And this was describing, I think it was one of Hitler's henchmen, I want to say Adolf Eichmann or someone who tried to use this defense, or a psychologist tried to explain it. But the idea is many of these people, in fact, you could look at the big tech censors today. They're meeting weekly with the FBI, the National Security State, to tell us who can be allowed to have a website, who should be censored. And these are big tech bureaucrats who think they're doing good work. They're working with the government. They're cooperating. They believe in this cause. They're fighting misinformation. But the banality of evil is they're creating a totalitarian state that will enslave millions and ultimately result in mass death and unbridled power. But they don't see it that way. They're just a cog in the wheel, and they're doing their job, and they believe in their mission. That's the banality of evil. It's very unimpressive to watch. It looks boring, but that's where it's happening. You no longer need the barbed wire fences and concentration camps. They can shut us down now by, if you give out hate speech, misinformation, you could have your Gmail, your website, your text set down, your bank card, access to stores. And when they get the electric car thing going, they can cut off the national charging grid on at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
Remember, Henry Ford, his was mom and pop gas stations across the country. Guess what the electric car vision is by the Biden administration? One national charging grid that can be turned off and on at the whim. We face an emergency. Shut it down.
Great.
You don't even need to declare it. You don't need to do anything. So this is the world we face, and it's happening with unbelievable rapidity right now.
Yeah.
And there's no real opposition from anyone in power.
No.
I mean, I love Rand Paul. He's great. But I got to tell you, even some of our, Ron DeSantis has been great on this. Trump is great, but Trump unfortunately stumbled out of the blocks in March 2020 with Anthony Fauci going along with the emergency declaration and the 10 days to slow the spread.
Right.
We now know that he was intentionally duped. Deborah Birx, the White House
Definitely.
COVID response
yep.
coordinator, admitted it, and that you can actually see the video and the photograph of Fauci and Deborah Birx gleefully smiling when Trump's announcing the 10 days, because they know that was the beginning, and they knew it wasn't 10 days, and they knew they had tricked him.
That was the scarf lady, right? That has a scarf on all the time.
That was what?
The scarf lady. That's what I call
her.
That's how I remember her.
Yes.
But
He was on TV every day.
He was absolutely duped, but we can't afford to be duped like that. But honestly, Mark, I just think this is so well underway that I'm not sure there's much we can do. I'm not sure.
Well, I had the whole last chapter in my book, Before We Gouge Our Eyes Out and Give Up.
It's called
The Great Reject, Great Reset. And here's the bottom line. The Berlin Wall fell, of course, after 40 years. But the Berlin Wall fell not because the East German government voted to say, 40 years of tyranny, that's enough. It fell because the people no longer gave their consent to live under tyranny.
Yes. Yes.
And if you look at what happened, and I just focus on this in the book, the lowest level of our political system, the school board level, the entry level of politics, is what produced the greatest resistance and the greatest power fight back against it. Because we toppled the machine of Terry McAuliffe, the former DNC chair, trying to run for governor on the vaccine mandate question. New Jersey almost lost their governor in countless races across the country on school board levels, school board votes. All of this happened. It took notice. The National Democratic Party did an internal investigation, and it spooked them so much. According to the New York Times, and this is in my book, that every major city after this, especially after Terry McAuliffe dropped the vax mandates, mask mandates in every city from San Francisco, LA, Baltimore, Washington, New York, Philadelphia, to Boston, all because of the school board led rebellion that toppled major Democratic Party figures. And that is how you fight back at this level, and that's how you create fear. And also the biggest thing is resistance. You got to resist mask mandates, social distancing, vaccine mandates, lockdowns, do everything you can to flaunt the rules. And they're already, by the way, talking, bringing back Canada's talking about bringing back mask mandates. LA County was talking about it. Carnival Cruise Lines has already brought them back for their Australian edition. Imagine going on a cruise and you have to wear a mask the entire time. Is that like a fun vacation?
Not at all. I have to tell you, I was one of the rebels. I wouldn't put one on. I've been kicked out. My friend had the police called on him. But yeah, I'm one of the rebels. But, you know, and so are you. And Mark Morano, thank you for what you're doing. Your book, The Great Reset, I mean, it's a must read, particularly for that last chapter, in fact, because it does give us hope. It sets it up. It lets us understand what's going on so that we can fight it. And so we know that we can have hope. And I appreciate that about you. You give us all the details, but you also give us hope at the very end. And The Great Reset by Mark Morano. You were so much fun. I loved having you on.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rose. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just got back week in Egypt, and I call it the Great Reset Summit. But I had all the usual things that you'd expect happen. I had digestion issues. I tripped. I cut my foot on in the Red Sea. Is that a Red Sea resort, by the way? And of course, I was accosted by an Associated Press reporter. Associated Press reporter came up to me and, you know, and screamed at me how I was an evil denier, and
he was
shaking my hands, not knowing who I was. And so, anyway, that was the Associated Press Seth Borenstein. But it was a fascinating week at that conference. Joe Biden showed up, and Al Gore was there, and John Kerry, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the whole. And there, as you went into the conference, you were greeted by a man with a sign that said, "Climate deniers deserve the death penalty." So it gave you an idea of the level of tolerance.
Holy cow! No kidding. Wow. Hey, were you able to purchase the special package of foie gras? I mean, that was available, too, for extra price, by the way, from what I heard.
No, that was only for the VIPs.
Not you, the denier.
But I did get to ride a camel and see the pyramids. So.
Hey, I got bit by a camel once, so don't think that they're sweet animals, okay? Just like forewarning anybody out there. I was actually bit by a camel.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, so, Mark, thank you so much again. I appreciate you. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thanks a lot, Rose. Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
This episode of Rose Unplugged is made possible because of MyPillow. And so I ask that if you go to MyPillow, you put in promo code ROSE to get a great discount. They've got dog beds. I've got it. Tucker has a dog bed from MyPillow. Loves that thing. I mean, he shoots right for it. When I say bedtime, that's where he goes. MyPillows, the Giza sheets. Every time I wash them and put them back on the bed, they are as though I never washed them and I just opened up the package. That's how great they are. The items there are well made, and you know what? They are distributed and manufactured by a good guy, Mike Lindell. MyPillow, promo code ROSE.